When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Episode 444, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. I don't know if I want to start with last night's games or if I want to tell you what song I had ripping in the car this morning when I went to get my coffee.
Let's start with your music. I want you in a good mood when we talking today.
By the way, for the record, I'm 25 songs into your boys' playlist. It just needs a little fine tuning. Their workout playlist that I told you I was making for them.
Yep. Yeah. Am I going to like this playlist too? Is this going to get me working out?
Well, the entire playlist starts with Fire Woman from The Cult.
Okay. Like it. I'm very excited about this because I trust you with your music picks. Very knowledgeable guy when it comes to music. So
I got some Metallica on there.
How many songs are you putting on there?
I don't know.
How long
they said they work out for a couple hours. So I'm at 25 songs. So that's about an hour and a half.
Okay. So how many songs are you putting on there?
Like I'll probably put
30, 50.
I'll probably 50. Put 50 or 60 songs on.
Jeez.
Yeah, that way, because you know why? Then you can throw it on shuffle, and it's not like 12 songs, the same 12 songs. I'll give them 60.
Okay.
I have
When's this
going to
be done?
I don't know. It's kind of like a painting, you know, like you just you go back. I just come back to it.
Okay. I'm the buyer of your painting, and I want it within a week. Okay,
you want it within a week?
I can't wait. I can't wait any longer.
Okay. This song that came on randomly when I turned on my car this morning, totally random, immediately added it to the Rive playlist. Do you want to know the name of the playlist?
I don't.
You sure?
I want to be surprised. it's like I'm asking you to do a painting. I want to be surprised when I see it for the first time.
It's a good name. It's a good name. So it was Mystify, INXS Mystify came on. I was like, oh, I got to throw this
Mystify,
on the list.
Mystify me.
Before I move on, I got to just say, I heard a hilarious joke yesterday. Driving down the road and saw my ex. It's funny how I'd hit that changes meaning over the years. How else are you supposed to segue into a Celino Law commercial? If you've been hurt in a car crash, hopefully not caused by your ex, you know what to do. Call Celino Law. Call 888-888-8888. Where do you want to start? Sabres or playoffs last night?
I will say this just for the last time, because congratulations to Washington for making the playoffs, but man, does that team stink. And how good is that goaltender? I didn't even know who he is. Like I haven't really been following the Washington Capitals team per se, but that goaltender was lights out. and is arguably, from what I have heard, what I have read, that he is the only reason why that team is in the playoffs, because it is not a good hockey team. They are an aged and weathered, you know, hockey team. You know, they do not have their top two centers. Backstrom is injured. He's been injured all year long. They had issues with Kunetsov. They trade him away. They also trade away an unrestricted free agent player coming up in Mantha. I mean, there was just the turnover on the team was just kind of like head scratching.
How many goals did Alex Ovechkin have at Christmas this year? 8?
9? Right. Yes.
10, 12?
Yes.
11? 13?
I don't know. No, he was sitting at eight for the longest time. And
no, when many, you go back, you know, to many he has now? 31.
It's just, I don't even know if you want to call it impressive, but it's like,
it's crazy.
It's kind of,
Craig.
It's head scratching.
The second half, what's his goal pace in the second half of the season? A 45, 50 goal season? Over 82?
Yes. Okay. So I just went back and I looked at his first 42 games of the season. He had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He had 8 goals in the first 42 games of the season. That is just, it's mind blowing that he ended with
23 goals in the last 39 games. That's about a 46 to 48 goal pace.
Yeah. I mean, he was special on, he was so strong in the last half part of that season, you know. And listen, I watched
they
him
got
play.
In, by the way, they got in not to make, they got in and they lost to the Sabres twice at the end of the year. And they still got in.
And they looked really bad losing to the Sabres. Like, the Sabres were trouncing them. I kept on thinking to myself, how is this team in a playoff spot? How is this team in a playoff spot? Sabres are dominating them with their speed and their youth, and they were tenacious on the puck, and they just overwhelmed Washington, who literally looked like the most aged team around. And that's what makes it irritating. That's what makes it, you know, when you think of the Sabres, that they were kind of there. They're always seemed to be kind of around that 6-7 points out all year long, not out of it, but not in it. Right. And when you just go back as a fan and you think about games, plays, you know, power play stinking to high hell all year with the talent that I think that we have on the team, penalty killing was okay. It was average. And it's just, it's like this team, I believe, with a change, okay, of leadership, which Kevin Adams addressed that yesterday. But just a few tweaks to this roster, I think this could be a very, very fun team to watch again.
All right. So let's talk about the press conference yesterday.
What were your initial thoughts?
I think Kevin Adams said everything he had to say.
He did. He absolutely did. There's a lot of things that when you listen to it, there were some great questions too. I really do believe some of the questions were strong, and I liked the answers. I was really impressed with Kevin's demeanor going into this press conference. Didn't want to sugarcoat anything anymore. Didn't want to talk about development. Didn't want to talk about how youthful they were. Didn't want to talk about poor us and we're getting better and we're learning from our mistakes. It's starting now. And I think that was the identity and the focus that Kevin wanted to just stop everything in their tracks. I don't want to talk about how young we are. I don't want to talk about how immature we are. We have players that have, you know, age in the league on their side that have played a number of years. It's not, there's no more excuses.
Well, you mentioned identity. You mentioned the bottom six. I mean, he touched on pretty much everything. And I mean, without getting into specifics of what players do we think he should be targeting? I mean, we'll talk about coaching candidates.
I don't care who they pick. Kevin Adams is going to do his due diligence. He's going to dive in and he's going to make phone calls and he's going to get phone calls.
Yeah, he said he has already received a bunch, but doesn't it seem like he already kind of has an idea of where he's headed?
You could definitely read into...
He ruled out Seth Appert right away. He ruled out Mike Pekka right away. He ruled out Jay McKee right away. He ruled out any college...
Well, the Carl
right
kid
away.
From Denver University that's been kicking ass and taking names for a few years, and he's going to be a high-end coaching candidate, but... I loved when I heard this. I loved
ruled him
when,
out too.
What's that?
That it. What he said about his coach search ruled him out as well.
Experience, pedigree, push the team to the next level.
Didn't say cup, which is fine. Which I think was safe. That's a safe play to not say cup because you can't guarantee that the coach that you get will have a Stanley Cup as a coach.
Yeah.
Or even as a player.
That's right.
So.
And I guess, is there a worry? You know, it felt like he had already identified that person. It feels like he's already identified. He knows exactly what he's looking for. Feels like he's on top of this and wanting to go in a direction where he wants to pursue this quickly. So my thought that came to mind was, what about the other 16 teams that are in the Stanley Cup finals? I don't believe that every one of those coaches will be back. You don't know what's going to happen with Rod Brendamore. You don't know what's going to happen with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. You do not know what's going to happen with coach in Toronto. Like, I mean, Sheldon Keefe, I mean.
That's not, that ruled him out too, in my opinion.
Okay.
To me, Sheldon Keefe is not the answer.
I'm not saying Sheldon Keith is even in. I don't think that he's that guy either. I'm just saying that there are 16 teams that are going to be in the playoffs, and not all of those coaches I think will be back, because I think there's going to be teams that are going to be looking at a new direction, and that's okay, and it's interesting to watch. But I think Kevin Adams might have identified a guy that he's very interested in. And it only seemed that way. I'm sure he's going to have many discussions and talks. And if Kevin's going to know whether he speaks with multiple coaches, okay, he's going to know within the first 15 minutes if that's the guy.
Time now for Crash Course, presented by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, 888-888-8888. There are a lot of good candidates available, but I feel like he narrowed it down to one yesterday.
Okay.
I feel like I didn't see that, but okay.
I'm curious hear.
Let me rephrase that. I feel like he didn't narrow it down to one because of what he said. I feel like he narrowed it down to one because of what he described and what makes the most sense. How's that sound?
Okay. I would think yes. No. I think he is set on somebody, but I don't know who that is.
Oh. Okay. Doesn't Lindy Ruff make the most sense?
No.
Really? Okay.
No, he makes the least amount of sense to me.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Well, there is a large, large, large number of coaches that have pedigree, that have experience, that have coached in an organization. Do you understand?
And you have a list there, right?
I have a list. Can you describe to me pedigree? What does that mean? Someone that has already won? Someone that has a name, that has a big name? Is that pedigree?
Has experience probably at assistant coach, head coach, multiple teams, multiple players, some star players, some playoff experience, some playoff success, but maybe not a cup.
Okay.
That's pedigree to me.
Okay.
So let me just tell you why Lindy Ruff makes the most sense for me.
Okay.
And then we can move on to your list. They're paying Don Granato $2 million for the next 2 years, which...
Let's not do this with that. I really don't think that at this point
well,
in time...
Well, it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
It doesn't make a difference if you're your GM and your owner want to do the right thing. And let's not worry about what Don Granato's being paid. He's getting $2 million bucks a year for the next 2 years?
So I want Craig Berube. How much is Craig Berube? Okay, how much is Craig Berube going to cost?
$3 million.
Okay, so do you think they want to pay $5.5 million, maybe $6 million to a coach?
I don't think they want to. But I'll tell you this: I think Terry Pegula, when he's sitting at home watching these games. And he's sitting there saying, I have a choice. I have a choice right now. I can either skimp and try and save and maybe get by with this coach making $2 million, or I'm going to have to get bit in the butt and I have to pay anywhere from $5 to $6 million, including the Don Granato salary. So I'm going to be paying probably $6 million bucks to bring in this new coach because it's going to cost me maybe $3.5 million to come to Buffalo to coach. Okay. I think the way you're looking, what we need to look at is Terry Pegula would rather pay that money because it's going to give them the best chance of making the playoffs. That's what this is all about. Terry Pegula has never skimped and saved on anybody. Contract wise, he's given multiple high end
so you have
contracts to players.
You have not let me finish my point about why I think it's going to be Lindy Ruff. Because I do think in the end, I think there's PR behind it. I think there's cost efficiency behind it, because if Lindy got fired or was a free agent as a coach, or you're going to go pay some coach $3.5 million anyway. You're already paying Granato $2 million. You could give Lindy $1 million. Jersey's picking
Lindy
up.
Lindy Ruff is coming back to Buffalo to make $1 million.
Jersey picks up the rest of his salary. He makes the same as he made in New Jersey. That $1 million comes off his salary in Jersey, and Jersey pays the difference. That's what happens. Like if Don Granato goes and gets a coaching job in the NHL this year, let's say, and he's making $2 million and he signs for $1 million, he still gets another million. He gets his $2 million no matter what. And it's also a PR move.
Explain to me why you think Lindy Ruff is the right move for here.
I think it's the right move. I said, I don't think the move would kill you. And it buys you a couple years.
Buys you years. We're talking about after 13 years of missing the playoffs, we're talking about buying years.
Do you think Lindy Ruff is done coaching? Like, should he retire is what you're saying then?
I will say this, that I think Lindy Ruff would benefit from taking a year or two off to gather the hunger to be a head coach again.
See, I don't think Lindy Ruff's I don't think the issue in New Jersey was Lindy Ruff. The general manager didn't get a goalie. He lost two unbelievable defensemen that were crucial to their team. They had injuries, and they signed a shit star player for $8 million a year. I'm just preparing myself that it's going to be Lindy Ruff. And I don't think it would be a terrible move. Why?
Makes no sense whatsoever. Lindy was here for 16 years. He is still the most well-known sports person in Buffalo. He is loved by this city. I don't need a coach that people love. I need something different, something new, something fresh.
For all these players, he would be. Maybe not for the city and the fan base, but for all these players, he would be fresh. There's not one player here that played under Lindy.
Yeah.
He is a fresh voice. Anyway, look, I don't want to go in. I understand what you're saying. I understand. I'm just preparing everybody for this because I think that is a very likely scenario. My choice is Craig Berube. Who else do you have on the list?
Jay Woodcroft. Dean Evason from Minnesota. Craig Berube. DJ Smith. Lane Lambert. Todd McClellan. Bruce Boudreau. Gerald Gallant. Joel Quenneville has an asterisk beside him. I do not think that that would be someone of interest here for Pegula's. And then you have, obviously, Rod Brendamore and Mike Smith.
Mike Smith.
Pittsburgh?
Oh, Mike Sullivan.
Sullivan, yeah. I'm looking at it. I wrote down Sullivan. Mike Sullivan.
Mike Sullivan.
Possibly.
The Mike Sullivan one is interesting.
You won't know that, right, until the next couple days, and maybe Pittsburgh decides that, or Kyle Dubas decides that he wants something fresh. He needs to spark these older players. We need to gain and gather the most out of the Malkins and the Russ and all of those players that are on that hockey team. Maybe they need a little something that's going to spark them. Mike Sullivan is clearly one of the best coaches in the league. There's no doubt about it. But he might not be there. He might not be back in Pittsburgh. Their season is not over. They have not played their last game of the season yet. Obviously patience and understanding that you have to wait and see what happens with certain teams like this. And I think Mike Sullivan, there's a long list of very good coaches here.
But it sounded like he was going to make a call right after he left yesterday. Now, whether that's acting or not, I don't know, but it sounds to me like he has a short list of candidates.
I would agree with that.
I mean, how many candidates do you realistically think? Like, you put down some great names, but Bruce Boudreau, it better not be Bruce Boudreau. That is the furthest thing from a serious choice, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. I think Bruce Boudreau has done some really, really good things in the NHL. He's been a long time.
What's he done?
He's had teams that have won hockey games, Petey.
Okay.
He's had winning seasons.
For sure. But Bruce Boudreau's not the choice.
In your opinion. Okay. I agree with your opinion. Dean Evason, right? He played in the NHL. You know that, right?
I don't know who he is. He
played in the NHL. He coached in the Western Hockey League in the 90s, in the 2000s. He's been around. He's coached the Washington Capitals. He's coached the Minnesota Wild. Assistant coach on the Capitals. But was a head coach of the Minnesota Wild when he got fired. when he got fired, the players, it kept on coming out how much the players enjoyed playing for him. And he does not look, he looks like a no-nonsense type guy. So I don't know who they're actually looking at, or Kevin's actually looking at. We can only sit here and speculate and wait for the that decision to be made. But I love nothing more than hearing that Kevin is looking for an experienced guy with pedigree. And for me, I just leave it at that. I leave it at that, and I hand it over to Kevin, and he will do his due diligence on who he wants to lead this
team.
And
you're saying that there's no wrong choice based off the example that he gave, or the description of what he's looking for. There's
if
no
I were,
wrong
if
choice.
I were to tell you right now, if I were to tell you right now that DJ Smith was hired, for me, I don't have an issue with DJ Smith. I don't have an issue with Todd McClellan. I don't have an issue with Dean Evanson. I think Jay Woodcroft is someone that's interesting.
I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I'd rather have Lindy Ruff than those guys. If you're not getting Berube, I'll take Lindy Ruff.
Okay. What about Gerald Gallant?
How about this for... this is DJ Smith's resume, and I know he was with Ottawa. 4 straight years out of the playoffs. I guess he can't really say much when it's the Ottawa Senators. It's not all his fault. Player personnel, I get it. That's the pedigree. We said pedigree. To me, this coach that is coming here has won rounds in the playoffs. Multiple rounds in the playoffs. That is pedigree to me.
Okay.
Not being on the Leafs as an assistant during the rebuilding years and then being out of the playoffs for 4 with Ottawa. Yes, DJ Smith, when Don Granato was hired, I'm excited about that hire. Today, the day after Don Granato's fired, I want pedigree. That's why I would take Lindy Ruff over any of those other candidates that you mentioned. Todd McClellan is interesting. Brendan Moore doesn't seem like a likely choice to me. I don't see him leaving Carolina.
There's not a freaking chance he's leaving Carolina. Why would he leave Carolina? Like the last contract that he got, okay, he took a ridiculous pay cut. In far as I'm concerned, I think he was one of the greatest coaches in the league when he went to sign the contract. And he should have been making $4 or $5 million, but in turn, I think he signed for like 1.75 a year.
Yeah. 1.8
right?
or something.
He took a pay cut because he's like, you know, the team right now, you know, it's not about the money. It's about being in the right environment. He loves Carolina, so he took a pay cut to basically continue to coach there. I'm like, oh, my God.
A pay cut, gave a hometown discount.
That's a pay cut.
Okay.
You can call it whatever way you want it and whatever way you want to spin it, but he should have been paid double. And
well, he's not. I don't think he'll be available.
Why would he? He's on a team that not only now is – they've been one of the best teams in the league for a number of years. They're also a team right now is right in the limelight to be they're a Stanley Cup contender. Okay. And for years after this, they are going to be a very competitive team. Like they're going to be competitive for a long time. When you have, you know, Sebastian Aho as your top end forward, you've got the Snevestikov, butcher that one, who's just a young kid, 23 years old. Like they have some very, very good players. Snevestikov.
It's not even a Sova. It's
okay. Anyway, Seth Jarvis, 21, who Seth Jarvis scored like what? 30. Did he score 30 goals this year? He's 21 years old. Like they're going to be a very, very strong team for many years to come. So I don't see him leaving whatsoever.
Svechnikov. They have some tough names on their team, like for you anyway.
Hakan and Niemi.
That'll do it for Crash Course, presented by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s, 888-888-8888.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca.
Nikki Glaser, Saturday, April 20th, 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Event Center.
Jay Farrow will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
There was one thing that got my ears to perk up a little bit. Is the general manager having players over for dinner a new thing?
It's new to me, but everybody has their style.
But hold on, there's close and then there's too close. It's one thing to have a conversation with a guy at the rink about something. Why are you having them over? Like, I've always kind of had this issue with this team. I mean, like, him, Pegula, wanted to be so close to the wives and the girlfriends. And then, you know, you have, like, now you have Kevin Adams wants to have players over to their house for dinner. The general manager's wife and kids are integrated amongst the wives and girlfriends. Where's the line? Where's the fine line here between management and players? Or is it just one big happy family around here?
Well, that's, for me, that's part of the reason of me using the analogy that it's a country club down there. There's a lot of very comfortable hockey players down there. A lot of very comfortable guys, guys that get paid very good money, guys that there's a lot of, and believe me, communication and discussions are needed. But sometimes you need to make these players. Sometimes these are working people for your organization. Sometimes you need to make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable, you're growing. Understand that. When you're uncomfortable, you're growing. When you're comfortable, I mean, you just become the fat cat, man, and just love life, living on the sofa, looking out the window. And right now, this team needs to make the environment fun to come to, but understand that this is a job. Understand that this is, there's a common goal each and every day that you're going to the rink. And there needs to be a standard implemented into this very, very young group that seems to be very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Well,
I don't think they're happy.
I don't think they're happy. I just think, but I think they're complacent. I mean, there are a lot of young kids on this team that probably just think they got the world by the balls. The GM talks to me every day, went to his house for dinner. Never heard of that before.
Everyone's different. There's different environments. I think, you know, the competitive environment in which these kids come to the rink each and every day needs to be dialed up. It needs to be at a completely different level. And I just don't think right now that there's the leadership to show these kids what it takes each and every day. I know Kevin Adams knows it. I know he knows it. He won a Stanley Cup. He won a Stanley Cup with some of the best players in the world on his team. He knows what it takes to win. He's been around it for many, with the team that ultimately won the ultimate prize. And I think that Kevin needs to find a coach that can keep these guys accountable to take them to the next level. That's for me what I look at. You know, when you walk into a room and you have the Rod Brendamores, okay? When you have, you know, a Ray Whitney or a Glenn Wesley or an Aaron Ward, and it just keeps going on and on and on all the way up the board, Corey Stillman, you get to realize that Kevin was on a special team. And I guarantee you Rod Brendamore led by example and kept guys accountable.
Something else I liked that Kevin said was when he talked about finding an identity and depth players that are harder to play against.
I think he's done a great job acquiring high-end talent for a number of years now. Basically is what it's all about, right? Kevin's put a really skilled, dynamic offensive group together, but I think that he's starting to see the light on you have to have players that have a specific style, an identity, and what they bring to the game.
Well, you need one on defense. You need one on defense. Like a Ratko Gudas type guy. I mean, that's unrealistic, but my God, that would have, I'm going to say, go and try and get Eric Gudbranson. That's who you need to go and get. I don't give a shit. It's not one player. No offense. It's not Zemgus Girgensons and another player and then someone that you already have. It is three. You need three players like this.
Last week, we were talking about, you know, someone had written in, a lot of people are writing in and basically asking who I'm looking at in those roles. Who are you looking at? What type of player? Can you name some players that you would like to see in certain roles? Dakota Joshua from Vancouver.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Dakota Joshua right now is 27 years old. Okay, he's 6 foot two. He's 190 pounds. He skates like the wind, like he flies.
Was he a second rounder?
He is a fifth round draft pick. Okay. So, you know, he's going to be turning 28. He's right in the wheelhouse of kind of what you want. He's played only 183 games in the league. He's very hungry, very hungry. This year in Vancouver, he scored 18 goals in 62 games. He's playing on the third line in Vancouver. He's energy. He's speed. He hits. He had 32 points, 18 goals, plus 19. He had 60 PIMs in 62 games. 20 games he still could have played. I think the kid, he's not exactly, necessarily a fighter, but yeah, he's but fast
you
with
more
energy.
You need more than just him, though.
I'm giving you examples. Guys that okay, will like not that. Break the bank. He is an unrestricted free agent right now. Okay. He makes $850,000.
Oh, he's going to make two and a half next year.
Okay. Where is he going to make two and a half?
I don't know. Because if he's a 20 goal scorer,
Because I'm going to tell you this. He's on Vancouver, and you need to understand that Vancouver is not necessarily sitting in a great situation. Financially, you got Elias Pettersson that's moving from a $7.3 million contract to an $11.6. They have to re-sign Elias Lindholm, Teddy Bluger, Sam Lafferty. These are all guys in the forward. You have your young kid that was drafted really high, Pod Pullins, or anyway, he's a Russian kid. He went 10th overall in 2019. He needs a contract. So when you look at the defense, they have to re-sign Myers. Philip Roenick is going, he's making 4.4. He is going to get paid a lot of money on the defense. Like a lot of money. He's 26 years old. He's going to get an 8-year deal. He'll be making minimum $7 million. You gotta re-sign Nikita Zadorov. Like, I mean, they have a lot of players that need to be signed. So some of these players are going to have to move on. And I would be targeting a guy like Dakota Joshua, who is a third line guy who adds speed, and he's got good size, and he's got the ability to score some goals. And he's at the right age. He's not 23. He's 27. He's going to be turning 28 in a month. Well, that would be a guy that I would be all over.
Next year, Vancouver has $2.4 million of Ekman Larson's buyout.
Still on there?
$4.8 million the year after. $4.8 million the year after that. Yeah. $2.1 after that. And then $2.1 after that.
You know, I would be doing a deep dive into the league because I love doing this stuff. I love stats. I love trying to figure out players that I feel that we can discuss and talk about. And we've been doing this for years. We've been talking about certain players for years that have come up, and it's that time to kind of just think to yourself, because I don't think there's a clear top nine on the Sabres right now. In order to be a playoff hockey team, you have to have your best players play well, but you also have to have depth, and you also have to have different types of players, role players that are so important that may only score one goal, but they bring so much more to a team. I look at the Philadelphia Flyers and I think to myself, there's a lot of young players on that team that feel very, very comfortable because of Nick DeLaurier. So they can go out and play the way that they want to play. He adds energy. He adds excitement to a building. You think fans are sitting on their ass after he goes and fights all these heavyweights around the league like a gladiator? You think they're sitting in the seats? No, they're standing. They're cheering. They're going absolutely, you know, batshit crazy. And guess what that does to your team? Pumps you up. So that one goal that he scored, that's not why he's there.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.